The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
Providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades, here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself and come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you have advisors you're working with today or perhaps you are just getting started or restarted with your finance, one of the things we enjoy about this program, we're both financial advisors, so we meet with people like yourself. We've been doing this for
a long time,
couple decades now. But the nice thing about the radio program, we found over the years, you could be someone with multi-millions of dollars that you'd like another opinion on, or you can be somebody that has made a series of poor choices with your finances over the years, or perhaps something has happened health-wise or whatnot that set you back and you're getting restarted to the point where no financial advisor would give you the time of day. We'd love to be able to help you. So,
and you don't even have to use your real name.
No.
And you make up a name, make up the story.
Don't make up stories. Hopefully you got a good story.
No, but I tell you, so
like a politician, like something story that might have happened in the childhood, maybe did not happen.
We can't even get
We're not going political.
The whole thing is just hilarious. Like, does it really matter? Does it really? What happened when you were in junior high?
Anyway.
So
I started thinking because my book, MoneyMatters.com, Money Matters, I wrote a book, Money Matters, about, I guess it's about 9 years now. And the opening talks about my story as a junior higher with a paper out where I delivered the Daily Breeze and I got behind on my collections. I was ahead of my collections. I was behind on paying the supply.
You had part of the equation, yeah. Right, which is the collection of money.
And
it's the remittance of money.
I'm hoping now that all the facts were completely accurate. I'm going to recheck, make sure that it was, in fact, the Daily Breeze. I remember the name of the newspaper.
The Daily Breeze.
I don't remember the name of the gentleman I owed money to.
Speaking of newspapers. So this,
by the way, real quick, this is a financial program. If you want to call us regarding anything in your financial life, we'd love to take your call. It happened to have, maybe it's about your retirement. You're trying to figure out when should you retire? Can you afford to retire now? You're planning on retiring a couple years from now. You're on the right track. You're currently retired, trying to figure out your income. Perhaps you've got a kid. You're trying to figure out how do you fund college for this kid coming up. Whatever the case may be financially, to join the program, our contact number is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. Would love to take your call.
Yes. Call us and ask any question you want. Be you rich or poor?
And if you're poor, you're probably rich in good deeds.
Well,
and rich.
Anyway.
All right.
My
just trying to,
internet was
no
out.
One wants to.
My internet was out for 3 days last weekend. 3 days.
Last weekend? There's not 3 days in a weekend.
Friday.
For Pat, there is. Apparently, we're seeing Pat's work schedule.
Friday, Saturday, yes. And Sunday. So I never realized, I just didn't, how important newspapers were to me and information. So finally, I got up early at 5.
Because you get them all online.
Everything.
Like I do.
I get them on my iPad not enough signal to get. So finally, Sunday morning, I got.
Do you have a neighbor with internet or something? Go walking around the neighborhood, looking for an open.
I just
data plan or some sort.
It
don't
doesn't.
You?
It wouldn't fill the
data.
It wasn't,
you don't have like
the signal
data
it,
or something.
I just went and stole the neighbor's newspaper. No, I'm joking.
It's all wet in the corner. And dog might have peed on it, but it was read just fine.
Why would you take their internet when you could get the paper? No, finally on Sunday morning at 6 a.m., I got up early and drove down to the Starbucks and bought myself the New York Times. I just could not stand it anymore. It was very difficult. It was a rough
weekend. That's a hard weekend, Pat.
It was a rough weekend.
Poor guy. It's
you know, I feel
ridiculous. Life, you know your life is pretty. You should. You know your life is pretty good when the worst thing that happens to you is your internet's down and you can't. The New York Times doesn't get delivered early in the morning. You have to wait till 6 a.m. to go to the coffee shop. I do feel for you, Pat. That is kind of rough.
You actually have an excellent point. That sounds ridiculous now that I articulate.
We do have a couple things we're going to talk about this program. One is we're going to talk about some of the changes that took place with Social Security. This will impact some of you, not all of you, but we'll spend a little time on that.
It is a sign of things to come.
It certainly could be.
It is a sign of things to come.
And also, we saw just a week ago, the Treasury had been working on a new retirement plan called the MyRA. Not the IRA, the MyRA. And the MyRA, the Treasury...
MyRA.
My Retirement Account.
Okay.
And the purpose behind this, I suppose, this is something the Treasury started.
Didn't this take place like 3 or 4 years ago?
It hasn't been in the news much, but...
I don't remember, someone ran this up the flagpole a while ago.
So they tested it. So the Treasury Department, about a year and a half ago, tested this MyRA. And this is designed for, there's some 55 million Americans who do not have access to a retirement plan through their workplace, like a 401k. Of course, 30% of people who have access to a retirement plan at their workplace don't take advantage of it. But so there's a bunch of people, working Americans, that don't have access to a 401k plan, particularly if you're a part-time worker or whatnot. And a lot of financial institutions have minimums. So if you wanted to go set up an account, buy an S&P 500 index fund, for example, at a large no-load company, there's a good chance there's some minimum. So what the MyRA is designed to do, it's an employee can either have their employer withhold money as little as $5 a pay and have it sent to their MyRA account, or they could have their tax return sent directly to their MyRA account, or they can have money deducted out of their checking account on a periodic basis and sent to MyRA. You're looking at me, Pat, with these wide eyes.
And so they tested it, which means what?
With a handful of employers. And what we saw this come down essentially the same time the Social Security changes came into place. So we're going to talk about that later in the program. So the Social Security changes came in, impacted a bunch of people. They said it was only going to impact wealthy retirees. Then there was a bunch of people who are divorced, and some middle-income people said, no, we're not wealthy, we're middle-income, and we're using this technique. So happened that week, the Treasury Department came out and said, oh, this is going to be available to everybody, the MyRA, My Retirement Account, and it works just like a Roth. You don't get a tax deduction for the deposits, gross tax deferred, but you can, it's tax-free at retirement, and then you can transfer it to a Roth later. And it's up to, it's maximum of $15,000. Here's the interesting thing.
Maximum of $15,000 a year.
No, total.
$15,000.
$15,000 the maximum. The interesting thing is it goes into essentially the same fund that Thrift Savings Plan, if you were a federal government employee, the government bond fund. So the irony behind this that I see.
Oh, that's it. This is, you know, so I haven't tracked this at all.
There's not going to be an adoption to it, correct?
Correct. I didn't. I read the highlights of it last year and I thought this is silly because no one's really going to really ever use it. They're like maybe 0.25% of the population.
The challenge is the government's trying to help those that don't have much money to save for retirement.
I get that.
I don't know if anyone actually ran the math to say, if you saved $5 a paycheck, how much you would accumulate by retirement if you invested in U.S. Treasuries earning less than 1% a year. It's not going to make the difference of whether you can afford
retirement. And the only investment option right now is the Treasuries.
Yeah, in government bonds. I find the irony is the government introduced a program that's designed really for the working poor, and the money that they're taking is the government's borrowing it.
Yes. I see that.
Don't you find the irony? The government it's another way for the government to get more money to borrow, which is essentially what they're doing.
I get the concept. It's just, you just wonder
some
how
other ways
practical
probably,
is this?
The thing that I find disturbing about it, look at our retirement plan situation right now, right? So if you're a listener, you're saving money for retirement, some places, probably a 401k through your work. Maybe you have a 403B, perhaps a 457. Your employer might offer a 408. You might have an IRA or a Roth IRA, a simple plan, a SEP IRA. Maybe your company offers a profit sharing plan or a money purchase plan. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's so complex. There's a cottage industry that's been created just to help not only individuals, but financial advisors and accountants figure out the complexity of retirement plans.
Absolutely.
A whole cottage industry on it. And so I think part of the issue we all have as Americans trying to save for retirement is the complexity of the various retirement plans.
So the answer is to add one more.
That's the irony. I thought of it all. Look at yet one more plan.
Yeah, why do you have a 401k versus a 457 versus a 403b?
Because
they all essentially do kind of the same thing.
When Social Security was created, there was a lot of discussion. Congress got together along with the administration, created the Social Security Administration. Like it, don't like it, whatever. That's how it came down. All these other plans came out after the fact. There's a revenue act that was passed. Someone saw, oh, we can create a retirement plan here. And it was all kind of built on top of each other. It's all hodgepodge. There's
no master plan behind it.
No, and that's really what would love to see the Congress administration get perhaps a master plan. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start some calls and continue on. We will talk about Social Security changes as well. To join the program, it's 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
Hanson McLean Advisors is dedicated to helping people make wise choices with their money. From the time Scott and Pat started the firm until today, they've been committed to see to it that people arrange their finances in such a manner as to provide some element of financial peace in their lives. All the financial professionals at Hanson McLean Advisors are credentialed and well-versed in areas that range from investments and risk management to taxes and debt reduction. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under that hood. There are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place, and there's a high level of communication, keeping you informed and up to date. With offices and meeting locations throughout Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be a benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or at moneymatters.com.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
We are glad you are with us on this middle of November.
Yes.
And it's kind of nice we're getting a little rain finally this season.
Now you can look up and see the snow in the mountains.
Anyway, this isn't a weather program. El Nino, here we come.
Let's hope.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yes.
I went to, before we're going to take a call here in a minute, but I went to a Powder Puff football game the other night. Have you ever been to a Powder Puff football? Do you even know what one? I didn't know what one was.
It's girls football.
Girls flag football. And my wife, our youngest child is a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. But my wife has had these group of girls that she's been meeting with since they were in sixth grade. Now they're all seniors, and a couple of them are playing. So, hey, Valerie, would you come out to So I went to the my first and last, unless I have a grandchild doing this, girls' Powder Puff football game.
I am just thinking, more than anything else, I'm impressed at how attentive of a husband you are that you would do this because your wife asked you to.
We've been happily married for 19 years.
How many years have you been married?
23.
That's the old joke, and I fell right into it.
So stupid.
That wasn't
not even funny.
Okay. All right. But that's nice. Power Puff football, I'm sure it was
and
awesome.
And it came down, I got to tell you, it was a tight. It was if every Power Puff football game was this exciting, I'd probably go. If every football game was this exciting, I'd be a huge fan. This tide came down the last final seconds. Quarterback threw a long toss. Gal near the end zone catches it, runs it in with like 3 seconds left on the clock. It was one of those.
Just that sounds just a great.
First of all, watching a bunch of little girls run around.
If they want anyone to watch the game, they're going to have to change the name.
From Powder Puff to something.
Yeah,
what is that name supposed to mean?
I don't know.
How'd I get dragged to that? And more importantly, why am I discussing it right now in this program?
All right, let's go to the calls. 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSON, if you'd like to join the show.
And we're talking with AJ. AJ, you're with Hanson McLean.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you for calling, AJ.
I'm a retiree, federal government retiree, been retired for about 3 years. And about age 49, I saw that my insurance premiums through the federal employee government life insurance was going to go up significantly. So I switched to a term insurance policy outside the government.
Okay.
Expecting to have a 20-year term, I was hoping for coverage through about age 70. Recently found out that my 20-year term is actually a 10-year term.
Okay. How did that happen?
That's a good question. Okay. I'm trying to find that out. But I think I got sold a bill of goods, and I should have read the fine print.
Well, you can't read everything. That's the problem with things.
Right. So now I'm faced with, about the end of next year, I'll need to either convert to another term insurance policy or just switch over to market rates. And he's telling me, you know, upwards of $13,000, $14,000 a year, which is ridiculous, about $600,000 worth of coverage.
So here's the question we have, AJ. So life insurance is designed to replace an income stream that is dependent upon one's life most of the time, which is either from if they're working to replace that in case something happens to them, or if they have a pension that is tied to them. And then we also see life insurance used sometimes for estate planning purposes, but you probably don't have an estate north of $11 million, I'm guessing.
Not yet.
So what's the point of this life insurance?
Yeah, why do you own it?
The reason is I would like to be able to replace the income lost if I pass away to my pension to my wife.
Got it.
So did you take what pension option did you take when you retired?
Under the civil service retirement system, and we have survivor benefits for my wife.
And you have full survivor or 50% survivor?
She gets 50%.
Okay.
Full wasn't an option for us.
Okay, so here, isn't that interesting with the federal pension? So for the rest of the listeners that they don't offer a full survivor benefit, they didn't at least.
Most employers, yeah. Well, if you still have a pension plan, fortunate enough to have a pension plan, when you go to retire, you usually have an option as you can say, hey, I'll just give me the maximum amount depending upon my life. If I die tomorrow, there's nothing there.
And then your spouse has to sign off on that.
Or there's plans that say, I want to give my wife a third if I die or half if I die or all if I die or I want to make sure it pays for a minimum of 10 years. There's every employer is a little bit different.
They have all sorts of different options, which is my point exactly. We didn't line this call up, but they've done such a great job with their own pensions that we've actually decided that they should be responsible for my RA pensions, like we talked about earlier, my retirement account. Yeah. So the terrible, terrible choices there. Not that you made a bad choice, is that they didn't give you anyone.
Yeah.
So tell me about your health.
My health is good.
Okay. And how old are you now?
49. No,
I am now 58.
Okay. You're 58 years
old. How old is your wife?
My wife is the same age.
And so you have a joint and survivor. So she'd receive 50% of whatever you're receiving, correct?
Correct. And I'd like to make up that difference with the term insurance.
Yeah. So one of the things, if you look at insurance, so the insurance industry, if you go buy life insurance, they get lots of people to buy life insurance for them, spread out the risk. And for about every dollar they receive in premium, they pay out about 50 cents in death benefits. Okay, that's just kind of how it works. Eh, give or take a couple numbers. So about every dollar they bring in premium, they pay out about 50 cents in death benefits. So if you buy this life insurance and you live to a normal life expectancy, essentially, you're really not going to get back what you paid into it.
Correct.
If you factor in investment options and everything else. If you live, if you die early, then that's when you're glad you have insurance. And if you live really long, then you wish you'd never had it.
So tell me about
but that's how insurance works with everything.
Yes, correct. So tell me about the your overall financial picture. How much money do you have in savings? Do you own your home? Tell me about that. Because I question whether you need it at all or whether you just want it.
Sure. I'm glad you asked. We have about $300,000 in money market, mutual fund, and TSB government securities, like you were just talking about.
Okay.
And we have about $300,000 in equity of our home, and
okay.
We owe about another $40,000 on it. And my pension from the government is about $70,000 a year, so it would be cut in half when I pass away from my wife.
And did you go back to work at all?
No, I'm enjoying a full retirement.
So I think.
And will you both be eligible for Social Security?
I will not be. My wife will be.
Okay.
I think.
Do you have any idea what her Social Security will be?
I think it's in the range of about $800 a month or something.
And,
like
that. And that's at age 62.
That I think was a little higher than that. I think it was 60.
Was that a normal retirement at age 66?
I think it was 66.
Okay.
Okay. So I think you probably could use a little bit of insurance.
Yeah, because if you died today, your wife's income is going to be cut in half. She doesn't have Social Security. She still has a little bit of mortgage on the house. But as you get older, you're going to need less and less.
Yes.
So it sounded like this insurance agent recommended some sort of permanent policy to you, or whole life or something. Is that $13,000 a year? What was the $13,000 a year?
That, he said, is what the cost would be to just convert it over to the market rates for the current policy.
Oh, got it.
You only do that if you're in poor health.
Yes, correct. So what they were talking about is converting that over to a universal life or a whole life policy. And you would only do that, Scott is correct, if you were in poor health. So throw that out. That's okay. Not going to happen, right? So what you would then do is look at how much you actually needed. So you need $35,000 in income to 100% replace.
You don't necessarily need to replace 100% of it, because I hate to say it, if you're not around, the expenses aren't going to be as great.
That's true. The beer budget would be much less.
So $35,000.
Although Pat used to argue that he needs more life insurance on himself than his wife, because you needed more on your, because if something happened to his wife, he'd need money to go out and date, because it'd be hard for him to find somebody. So you need plenty of cash.
I needed to throw some cash around to get remarried. So that was my whole concept. Yeah.
I don't feel the need to fund her future dating. Okay.
So here's what we look at. So $35,000 a year would bring you back. And remember, this stuff comes out, life insurance comes out tax-free. So you could cut that down by about 25%. So you need about $26,000 a year to fund that. You could probably get away with $500,000 in term life insurance policy. And I would probably just do a 20-year level term or a 15-year level term?
Well, that's going to get expensive at his age, 58. What about a decreasing term insurance?
But my point was, I was going the same direction, Scott. Either you could buy a decreasing level term, or you could just lower the face value automatically every year over the next 15 years.
Okay.
I would look at decreasing term.
I would look at a decreasing term, but doing it a little bit differently, which is me lowering the face value.
Yeah, but the problem is if they underwrite him for a 20-year level policy, they're taking on the risk that he could keep this policy
in
force
for the next
20.
Decreasing level term would. So are they less expensive?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because with decrease, let's say he had a policy that declined from 500.
AJ, yes. Hold 1 second while Scott explains this to me, because I truly don't know.
No, you have a policy that's $500,000 today, and it declines to zero over the next, let's say, 25 years.
Okay.
As an example. So 20 years from now, instead of having $500,000, the insurance company's not on the hook for $500,000.
So they're going to underwrite it more favorably.
Absolutely, but less expensive, because as you get older, they're on the hook for less and less. You're going to die one day.
And
they
don't have that mortality rate if you become sick, because it's an
because
automatic.
Because you're going to need less and less as you get older.
I like the idea. How much would you start with, $500,000
decreasing term? Maybe do a $100,000 policy at a 20-year level. And then do the remainder at a decreasing term. That's what I'd look into.
Yeah. So $500,000, and I would look at. I agree with Scott. And remember, this stuff comes out tax free, so you actually don't need as much to generate the same income. And the policy that he was talking about, that $13,000 or $14,000 a year, that's to convert it into a universal life or a whole life.
Or
policy.
No, just to continue on.
Oh, the same
the only ones are going to keep it are the ones that can't get new insurance.
And we assume you're in good health, AJ.
I'm in good health, and I was quoted about $2,000 for a $500,000 coverage.
For how long a term?
I think that was a 10-year term.
Yeah, 10-year. Yeah.
I bet if you get a decreasing term, you get a little less
even
expensive.
Less expensive.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much, John.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
And sometimes this, by the way.
Well, thank you for that, Scott. I did not know about the decreasing term.
I don't know how common it is anymore.
How did you know that, though?
Know what?
Decreasing terms. You had to go way back to a test you must have taken years and years and years ago.
20-some-odd years ago. And I got to tell you, before I answered, I Googled to make sure that there was still decreasing term insurance out there. And there still is decreasing term insurance out there. So
I did not know.
And if not, then you could always structure it by some for 20 years, some for 15 years, some for 10 years, some for 5 years. That's another way to kind of structure it. Bit of a pain because now you got several policies, but it's certainly going to save you some money. But for the vast majority of the time, if you're trying to protect a spouse, you are better off taking the survivor option. Take a reduced pension and the survivor option through your employer. Some life insurance agents will say, oh, no, for pension maximization, take the maximum you can at your, from your employer.
And buy life insurance is what they'll tell
you? I've never seen it work out.
I have seen it less than work out. I have seen it turn out terrible.
And I've got a picture of a woman in my head right now that has been struggling, and we've been trying to help her the best we can for years because she was widowed early. Husband also worked for a school district, so there was no Social Security available. No Social Security, no pension for her, and not nearly enough life insurance. And
do they still sell those things? I saw it
the other day. Term max. If you see someone try to sell you something called term max to take maximize your pension, don't walk, run away from that person because you don't want to be in that position. It's just not a good place to be. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the changes in Social Security, and we'll take some of your calls. 888-2-HANSEN is the number. You're listening to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
To be part of Hanson McClain's Money Matters, visit moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766.
Planning, saving, and transitioning into retirement isn't as easy as it used to be. Interest rates are low, the financial markets are volatile, and pensions aren't what they used to be. Have you saved enough? Will your investments last you until your dying day? Are you on the right track? If you are asking yourself any of these questions, you could really benefit from meeting with the Hanson McClain Financial Advisor. At Hanson McClain Advisors, they use a unique 7 personal decision points process that can help you evaluate what steps you should be considering to keep you on a path to your ideal retirement. A meeting with one of their financial advisors will look at topics such as how much income your investments could produce, how to maximize Social Security benefits, methods to reduce income taxes, and more. So come into one of their Northern California offices to meet with one of their credentialed advisors and see how Hanson McClain Advisors may help get you to the place you want to be financially. The place you need to be financially. Contact Hanson McClain today at 1-888-2-HANSEN or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Hi, everyone. This is John Coyne, producer of Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Thanks for being one of our loyal podcast listeners. Did you know that you can still be on the show and have your financial questions answered? Simply go to moneymatters.com, click on the big orange button that says Ask Scott and Pat a Question. I'll personally contact you and schedule a time to have you on one of our upcoming shows. We can't wait to help you.
Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments, all on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson,
Pat McClain.
Thanks for sticking around as you're listening to a fantastic radio program.
We think so.
Absolutely, we think
so. But you be the judge.
I can't think of a better financial program than Hanson McClain's Money
Matters. How many financial programs do you actually listen to?
None. I can't even listen to this one, frankly.
Is that right?
I struggle. I try. You know, I got to listen to this. Try to improve upon it.
I listen to some financial programs.
I'm kind of joking. I listen to...
Some of them are good.
Some of them are good. Some are not so good.
Some are terrible.
And some you hear bad advice, wrong advice.
Some are just the people promoting products. Which is really, that's not what financial advice is about. Financial advice, products are tools to fix problems. You should never, ever look to a product until you diagnose the problem. And if you can get away without using a product to fix your problem, even better.
Absolutely. And that's so often we see people call themselves financial advisors or financial planner. Oh, I'm a financial, I don't even like that term. I'm almost embarrassed when I'm somewhere and someone asks me what I do for a living.
Financial planner?
What kind of work you do, Scott? I usually pause and I look at them.
You think?
Because I say a financial advisor and then they think, oh, you've got your business cards a sponge, right? And they think I'm just going to try to sell them something. Because that's so much of our industry.
Yeah, but I often tell people I'm a registered investment advisor, which is a little bit better.
All right. I mean, that's the problem with our industry. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
I mean, at least if a medical doctor, someone's a medical doctor, you're like, all right, at least I know you went through med school. And the board's pretty strong, so you got to abide by some ethics, and they're going to strip your license
there's
away.
There's at least a barrier to entry.
The barriers in our industry is so low. Certified financial planner, at least, is a pretty good start. If you get a certified financial planner, that's one thing.
A chartered financial consultant for the old school guys.
Chartered financial consultant.
For old school.
But anyone can call themselves a financial advisor. So it's easy to go have someone
at the bank calls themselves a financial advisor. Or
they're just an insurance agent.
Yeah, they're selling index annuities. They call themselves a financial advisor.
So by the way, index annuities, we're going to talk about Social Security real quick. The Consumer Financial Protection Board, actually Elizabeth Warren, who I don't always agree with, but I clearly agree with her on this one. She is saying, look, we need to look at some of these practices of all these extra bonuses are paid in commissions. And I read some financial periodicals, trade journals and stuff, and they target life insurance salesmen to sell these
they
equity
index.
They talk
about the bonuses right in the ads. To the commission bonuses.
Yeah, like you'll get a European cruise and win a Cadillac and all kinds. You sell enough policies and you get all these special bonuses. And in the insurance industry, part of the problem is the insurance contracts are regulated state by state. It's not a national regulator like there is for banking and for securities. So it's kind of almost the Wild West with insurance
contracts. It's different in every state.
I saw the worst case recently. This individual, all their savings was tied up in equity index annuities. They owned 11 contracts.
Did they come into our office?
Yes.
Is that what you saw?
Yes.
11.
11.
11.
11. The other advisor came in with pulling his hair out. He's like, I don't know how to handle this.
How old was the?
Mid-60s or so.
Oh, that's terrible.
Their financial advisor.
Not all 11 from the same person.
All the same person.
Well, that's awful.
It's
bad enough that you got one or two, but every penny?
11. 11 contracts. 11. That's all, everything.
That's awful.
Good salesman. Wow. By the way, we're not big fans of equity index annuities, if you haven't guessed. So, Social Security.
11.
11.
That's terrible.
Like I said, and he calls himself the financial advisor.
Well, that's a problem.
This guy's actually a registered.
All right, so just right now, if you're new, we're in a number of new markets. If you're new to the show, we do not like indexed annuities at all. We think they're terrible.
Never recommended one.
There might be one or two out there that possibly might have some validity. The problem is it's so hard to tell the difference between good and bad.
The expenses, internal expenses are so large. The commissions are so huge to the broker who sells them. Life insurance.
So it's just
10%, 12%, 15%
commission.
For that
rare case that there might be one that's suitable, it's not even worth.
Yeah, don't even bother.
Digging through it.
And I see things like this. It just makes me want to pull my hair out.
All right, let's talk. There's not much to go. Let's
left.
Go to.
Let's I've been in the industry too long. Too many guys like that.
Look at this head of hair, though.
Huh? Yours. Yeah, it's not quite so red anymore, is it, Mr.
McLean? It is not. Social Security.
So we saw a week and so ago, what was it, almost 2 weeks ago, but this budget bill, remember we almost went, they're going to shut the government down, blah, 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 the same old rhetoric back and forth, which caused, what happens is Congress, they all work and they have to work together. They don't have a choice. So they work together trying to figure out where they're going to get revenue. Well, they made changes to Social Security. The thing that was so fascinating about this, there was no discussion on this. There was no warning. It wasn't like there was some congressman that, or congresswoman that had been pushing for this that stated this needed to change.
It just came out of the blue.
Boom. I mean, financial advisors were surprised. People in the retirement community were surprised. It's like, wow, Congress just went and made a huge change to Social Security recipients with no advanced warning, just done.
Not much of a discussion.
So here's what happened. And this will impact someone if you're close to age 66, it'll definitely impact you. But maybe if you're even 62, by the end of this year, it'll impact you. If you're not 62, don't hang up because don't change the dial. We're not going to talk about this forever. But there's still some learnings to be had here.
But Scott, it does actually, it affects everyone. It's just how imminent that will affect you.
Thank you. So what had happened for the last 15 years, there was a loophole essentially that was created in Social Security. And people were taking advantage of the loophole. As advisors, we were encouraging people when it made sense to take advantage of the loophole. And it went something like this. Your normal retirement age is age 66. And if you waited till age 70, you'd receive more benefits. So for those that made sense to wait till age 70, rather than just wait, we would encourage them to file their benefits and then immediately tell Social Security, oh, wait a minute, I'd like to suspend my benefits for a future date. Why would you do that? You do that for two reasons. Number one, if later on in
between the ages of when you file and suspend and the time that you start taking it.
You can change your mind, and the Social Security Administration would give you a lump sum of cash. So
why would you change your mind?
You found out your life expectancy's changed. You've got a major health issue. You're now 69. You think, man, I'm probably not going to live till 90 like I was planning. I wish I should have started Social Security. It enables you to grab it. The second thing, and this is probably even more powerful, once you filed your benefits and enabled your spouse to file a spousal claim against yours.
So what that meant is if you filed and then suspended, you basically said to the Social Security Administration, I'm on, but you're going to defer my benefits, and it allowed your spouse to start receiving half of yours.
That's right. And then the spouse could allow their own benefit to continue growing until age 70 and then starts receiving it at that time. So if you are currently on a file and suspend program or a spouse restricted claim, it's not going to have any impact on you. You're fine. Matter of fact, they opened a window for the next 6 months. So up until May 1st of 2016, you can still take advantage of filing and suspending.
So if you're 6 months away from what's called your normal retirement age for Social Security, you should absolutely
do some serious planning.
Do some planning.
If you're not going to be 66 by May 1st, 2016, this isn't going to help you.
But what do we learn from this?
One more thing. If you're going to be age, and I don't know why they threw this in here, but if you will be at least age 62 by the end of this year, you can file a spousal benefit at age 66. Let me repeat that. So if you're going to be at least age 62 by the end of this year, you can defer, wait till your normal retirement age, and start a spousal benefit at age 66 and let that one grow, let your own grow, and then age 70 start collecting your own. So some of these great planning techniques that people were taking advantage of are going to be gone. So the question you said, Pat,
what do we learn from this?
Congress can change things really quickly.
And the expectation with Social Security is that if you don't need it, if your income is high enough that you could live without it in retirement, that there may be a point in time.
So some argue, they say, well, this has only been around 15 years. But there's a lot of age 60, early retirement benefits were a relatively newer thing. That wasn't part of the original act. That was added in later, first for women, later for men.
Well, they moved the normal retirement age.
From age 65, moving to age 67.
Yes. So here's what you learn from this. If you don't need Social Security to live,
you mean you got tons of money,
you probably should start collecting it as early as you possibly can, assuming that you are no longer in the workforce.
That's right. And if you're in the workforce age 66 and above, you still might want to collect it. If you've got so many assets you don't need it and a large income,
you might want to collect it as soon as possible, because that's who they can take the benefit away from.
And if you need it, if it's going to be really important for your retirement, you're going to want to wait as long as possible, maybe till age 70. Now, we've got a webinar on our website at moneymatters.com. There's a great webinar on Social Security. We just updated it to include some of these new rules. So if you are nearing retirement, we encourage you or nearing Social Security, go on our website, moneymatters.com, and grab that webinar and listen to the webinar. I think you'll learn a lot. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with calls. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Hanson McLean Advisors is dedicated to helping people make wise choices with their money. From the time Scott and Pat started the firm until today, they've been committed to see to it that people arrange their finances in such a manner as to provide some element of financial peace in their lives. All the financial professionals at Hanson McLean Advisors are credentialed and well-versed in areas that range from investments and risk management to taxes and debt reduction. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under that hood. There are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place, and there's a high level of communication, keeping you informed and up to date. With offices and meeting locations throughout Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be a benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or at moneymatters.com.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it's retirement readiness or investment allocation, tax planning or IRA rollovers, Scott Hansen and Pat McClain would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hansen McClain's Money Matters, simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hansen McClain. Scott Hansen.
Pat McClain.
Real quick, we ran out of time. Our website, moneymatters.com, wanted to promote it a little more because we have some good stuff on there. That Social Security webinar, simply, is really easy to get to. Just go to moneymatters.com. When you're there, it should be right in front and center.
And there's another one on there.
You click something.
There's another one on there that kind of talks about investment advisors and financial planners that we talked about earlier, which is called Liars, Levies, and Lawsuits.
Had you done had that person done a background check on this one particular individual who sold this, they would have found that he had been lost his securities license for 5 years.
The person that sold the 11 index annuities to that client had lost their securities license?
For 5 years, a number of years ago.
That is terrible.
Yep.
So Liars, Levies, and Lawsuits, moneymatters.com.
And the Consumer Financial Protection Board, is that whatever they call it? Yeah. Is that what it's called? The newer one?
Financial Protection.
And it's because the industry has not done a good enough job policing themselves. And some might not like some of the things they're doing, but this is one area that I think that they could have a little additional scrutiny on.
Yeah.
This whole non-traded REITs and equity index annuities.
And payday loans.
And paid for crying out loud, payday loans. What a scam that is on people.
Oh, it's terrible.
I've been to a payday loan place. When I was 18, I had 1 year I worked for a tree trimming company, and I had a bank account, but some of the guys that worked there, they would go to the payday. And I think I might have cashed a check there once, and they charged me $8 or whatever. And I'm like, why would you guys pay money to have your check cashed here?
So you weren't banking at the payday.
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
These other coworkers.
Because
I had a little tree trim business.
Because they were unbanked?
When I was in college, I took a year off school. I worked for a tree trimming company, learned how to do the business. Then I bought a small business and helped that finance me get through college. So that's how I learned the ropes.
If you will.
And the chainsaws.
That is just terrible.
And so I had experience with people that they did the payday loans. I was, why don't you get a checking account? And
they probably couldn't.
Well, they could have. They weren't all illegals by any means.
Okay.
They just didn't think the same way. They didn't. Every day was a struggle, and I don't know.
That's a shame.
I remember the one guy who would drink beer before work, too. Maybe if he quit drinking the beer before work, he could actually have his own checking account.
He didn't operate a chainsaw, did he?
There were times he did. This was not my company, by the way. This is the company that I worked for. But when he would drink the four Old English 800 talls prior to work, those are the days you made sure he stayed away from the power tools.
Oh my, that is so scary.
For the rest of the kids, for those kids listening, just a little thing to listen.
If you get a job in construction.
And someone's drinking four, they still sell Old English 800s?
Well, I know.
Four
well, I know.
16-ounce Old English 800s before work in the morning.
That's not beer, by the way. That's malt liquor.
What's the difference?
I don't know, but I remember some one point in time knowing it. I, too, was in college. I don't know the difference anymore, but at one point in time, I knew it.
In any case, how in the world am I talking about that?
Let's go to the calls.
The payday loans.
Yeah, consumer protection.
And by the way, I didn't have much money to get through college, and I was resourceful and figured it out. If you're sitting there struggling, you've got a kid in college, and you're thinking, this is going to jeopardize my retirement. We're raiding our retirement account so my kid can go to the keggers on Friday night in the dorm and having a good time.
I don't know if that is.
All right. They're not all at Kager's and the dormers on Friday night.
Well, I don't know if that.
But my only point is, look.
It's okay to go to college and community
it's
college.
It's okay to let kids struggle and figure it out, too.
Yes,
there's a lot learning. I learned more trying to figure out how to pay through college than I did. Well, I don't know if I learned more. But I learned a great deal, that experience I had trying to figure out how to get the money. Anyway.
If you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON.
Yeah,
or you go to moneymatters.com.
We probably still have time to take another call after this at 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Carolyn. Carolyn, you're with Hansen McClain.
Hi. Hi, I want to thank you, first of all, for your show. It's wonderful. I listen every week.
Oh, thanks. Thank we appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, I am single with no dependents. I am 56. I went back to school and got a master's in my early 30s and kind of started over financially at that point, but loved my career. So I got a little bit of a late start, and I'm just trying to put the ducks in a row so I can have a decent retirement when the time comes. And so I would like to give you a thumbnail sketch, if that's okay.
Yeah, let me ask you, are you yeah. so you went and got your master's to do something I presume that you thought you would enjoy your doing.
Yes.
Are you enjoying that?
I am.
Are you in a hurry to retire?
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, I had better, but
you know, I had a friend of mine said to me, he said, I view my retirement account more of as a disability fund, which I thought was interesting. He says, I hope to never retire because he loved what he's doing. But he says, I know I need money in case I can't work because 58% of Americans are forced to retire earlier than mm-hmm. they had planned for well,
that's
a variety of reasons.
That's a good point.
I thought
point.
It was an interesting, most, not everyone has that fund,
so,
by the way.
Carolyn, give us a thumbnail sketch,
sure.
please.
So I have about $40,000 in a 401k. I did get vested with the state with a job I had previously, so I will get a small pension with PERS that I've been told by PERS will be about $700 a month.
Plus medical?
No, I wish.
Okay.
I have about $20,000 in a variable annuity that's called an IRA. It's invested in stocks, and I don't really do much with that. It's just kind of sitting there. And then I do put in 12% into my 401k, and my company matches 4%. I like my job, all is well. I have long-term care insurance policy. I'm a homeowner. Owe about $130,000 on my home.
What's the interest rate on the mortgage?
3.62.
Okay.
So that's it in a nutshell.
Would you ever return to the state of California as an employee?
I'm not really in a field where there are that many opportunities at the state. I lucked into kind of a...
Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, for the rest of the listeners...
Sometimes the pension and the retirement benefits can be so good.
So good that I've actually encouraged a number of people to return to the state so that they recalculate their pension based upon a few more years and a different mm-hmm. age, and it's really something.
Sometimes mm-hmm. they just go to work for 1 week.
Yeah. So...
That's not good for the taxpayer. It's good for the individual, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So your question for us is?
Well, does it look like I'm on track for retirement in 10 years, or maybe I'll work till I'm 70? Like I said, I'm happy
yeah.
to do what I'm doing. And,
you're probably
What's your income?
I make about $72,000 right now.
Okay. So kind of the way to look at it, here's what we need to replace. And the seven personal decision points, I don't know if you've viewed our webinar on the seven personal decision points, kind of goes through this process. So what we like to look at is how much income needs to be replaced. So you're making $72,000 a year. You're putting 12% in your 401k. We can back that out. You're paying into Social Security.
So that's about $10,000 between the two. So you've got to replace approximately $62,000 a year. And if we figure out what you're going to pay your mortgage off and the date you retire, we'd back that out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your mortgage payments a month now?
They are about $957.
And are you on a 15-year mortgage?
30.
Okay. Do you have any desire to have that paid off by the time you retire?
It would be nice, but I'm not breaking my back to do it.
Okay. And our philosophy is if you can get it paid for by the time you retire, great. But if you hit retirement and you still have a mortgage, then you're going to want to have as long as a mortgage as possible to have the payments as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to clean it up a little.
Okay.
So if I was sitting down in the office, and you were actually a perfect candidate for the seven personal decision points, and that's why Scott encouraged you to go to our webinar on moneymatters.com and watch it. The first thing you determine is how much money I need to replace.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is if I went through that process, and I don't have time on the air, but if I went through that process with you, I'd re-amortize your mortgage over 14 years to get that paid off by the time you were age 70. And I'd probably increase your 401k contributions a little bit to get them up there, because right now they're at 12% and you can put a little bit more in. You're close. When we add in your Social Security benefits and that $700.
But you're probably going to have an offset on Social Security because your pension, your PERS pension. Did you pay Social Security at the time you're working for the state?
I sure think I did.
Okay. Probably did. Okay. I was thinking STIR, sorry.
Yeah, you might be okay. So you're close. But the biggest thing for me would be to pay that mortgage off in the next 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
and then to go through
And you can just, we have a calculator on our website. Just say, my mortgage balance is $130,000. My interest rate is 3.62%. I'd like it paid off in 14 years. How much should I be paying?
Yeah.
Great.
And I would do that.
Do you plan on staying in your house the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love
if
it.
You do, then great. If not, don't bother. But
So you need to re-amortize that, and you need to increase your 401k contributions.
Okay.
And then you said you have a 401k, and then you have an annuity. I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah, that came from when I worked at a nonprofit for a while, and that was pretty much all we had.
Got it. So you have a 403b tax sheltered annuity,
if there's no longer any surrender penalties, you might consider that just rolling that into your employer, your current 401k. Do you work for a large employer?
Yes.
Okay. If you roll in your 401k, it's probably going to be much less expensive.
I agree with Scott. I would do that.
Okay.
So
you can set up an IRA, but because it's a small balance, you probably best if you have a large employer, the fees are probably real low. You can transfer the $20,000 IRA to your 401k without any penalties, assuming that there's no surrender charges on that insurance contract, because you're probably paying for some insurance in that annuity that you don't need.
Okay. Great idea.
Yeah. So you're close, but it's not a given. It is absolutely not a given. So that's why.
Just if you kind of step back, you've got essentially 1 year's worth of save. One year of your salary saved.
Mm-hmm.
So we obviously need to get a few more years.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's what you need to do. And to get rid of that debt. And once you do that, you'll get close. But you most certainly are probably going to work until you're 70. And it's a good thing you like your job.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very helpful. I really appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate the call. Right. Thank you.
Okay.
We wish
Bye-bye.
You well. And, you know, for some people, if you like you said, it's a good thing you like your job.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about that. There's a lot to be said about that.
Some
people that are just counting down the years because they hate their job and they can't wait to retire.
Yes.
Anyway, we are running out of time. We apologize about that. And sorry we weren't able to take all the calls. We are here every Saturday morning on KGO from 8 to 9 a.m. and at KFBK from 10 to 11. You can also get this program via podcast. Go to moneymatters.com. At Money Matters, you'll find all kinds of great tools and articles and resources, things that will help you make wise choices with your finance so you can get to the point where work is an option and not an obligation for you. It's been great being here with you this weekend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean with Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Planning, saving, and transitioning into retirement isn't as easy as it used to be. Interest rates are low, the financial markets are volatile, and pensions aren't what they used to be. Have you saved enough? Will your investments last you until your dying day? Are you on the right track? If you are asking yourself any of these questions, you could really benefit from meeting with the Hanson McLean Financial Advisor. At Hanson McLean Advisors, they use a unique 7 personal decision points process that can help you evaluate what steps you should be considering to keep you on a path to your ideal retirement. A meeting with one of their financial advisors will look at topics such as how much income your investments could produce, how to maximize Social Security benefits, methods to reduce income taxes, and more. So come into one of their Northern California offices to meet with one of their credentialed advisors and see how Hanson McLean Advisors may help get you to the place you want to be financially, the place you need to be financially. Contact Hanson McLean today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Hi, everyone. This is John Coyne, producer of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Thanks for being one of our loyal podcast listeners. Did you know that you can still be on the show and have your financial questions answered? Simply go to moneymatters.com, click on the big orange button that says Ask Scott and Pat a Question. I'll personally contact you and schedule a time to have you on one of our upcoming shows. We can't wait to help you.